First of all, let me thank, organizers, particularly Elvio. And taking this opportunity, let me talk about, very recent stuff, rather than high-TC stuff. And I'm going to talk about Ruteinib and Vanrafaratin. And this work was done in collaboration with, these people listed here. In particular, Katsuya Iwaya and Tetsuo Hanabe from RIKEN is main actor over this Ruteinib project. And Seiji Nitaka is the main player for this heavy film Vanrafaratin project. And some of the sample on Ruteinib came from Yoshi Tokura's group at Tsukuba. And here is, outline of my talk, and I'm going to touch on two topics. One is Ruteinib, and the other is, Vanrafaratin. And in Ruteinib, I would like to prove criticality by SGM. And I'm going to discuss hidden electric auroral surface and spectroscopy of metamagnetic criticality. And then at the end, I would like to discuss local spectroscopy of manganese impurity and the impurity-induced metal to insulator transition in this bilayer Ruteinib. And at the end of my talk, I would like to talk about the physics of heavy fermion formation in spinel Vanrafaratin. And I would like to discuss discovery of metamagnets in this Vanrafaratin. And closely, which I would like to discuss, quasi-particle density of singularity in this heavy fermion oxide. Let me begin with bilayer Ruteinib. And as has been discussed, many others, competing orders are sort of the hallmarks of strongly correlated electron system. And the many phases, compete with each other with delicate balance. We have many phases, crystalline state of electron, liquid crystal state, liquid state of electron, competing with each other. And in this competing region, actually, this phase competition often manifests itself as an electric heterogeneity, in many cases on nanoscale. And impedance disorder plays a very important role in determining this spatial pattern, as discussed by Uchida Sensei. And also, this electron heterogeneity often appear as a sort of exotic aura in real space. And this real space physics has been believed at the heart of correlated electron physics, including colossal magnetic resistance and possibly high TC superconductivity, as discussed by Uchida Sensei. And our goal is to probe this local electric state by STM and STS. And today I would like to discuss this 327 Ruteinib as a playground for that kind of local physics. And let me give you some brief introduction of the compound. And this is bilayer Ruteinib, closely related with a very famous 214 strontium Ruteinib, known for PUF superconductivity. And this material remains paramagnetic down to the lowest temperature. And the formal valence of ruthenium is 4+. Therefore, you have four electrons in almost 3p degenerate T2g orbital, right? And because four electrons out of six accommodations, we do have orbital degree of freedom left. So orbital degree of freedom can play a very important role in this compound. The good news is this compound is cleavable at neutral strontium oxygen surface. So the topmost layer is neutral strontium divalent oxygen 2- surface. And this is good news for STM and STS. And this is material known for competing orders and criticality. This material is known to be located pretty close to metamagnetic critical point. And also, as I will show you in the next, you know, view graph, this material, yeah, this we found that this material show impurity in this transition to anti-ferromagnetic insulating state, only which, you know, only a few percent of manganese, okay, only a few percent of manganese can give rise to a transition from metal to insulator transition. That, you know, represents sort of criticality to sort of order state. Okay, here is actually the graph which shows the sort of criticality of this compound. And first of all, with the applying magnetic, you know, field, this material known to show metamagnetism. And this, you know, metamagnetic, you know, critical point was, you know, studied in detail by Andy McKenzie's group, you know, for a number of years. And they discussed non-ferromagnetic behavior, you know, at this metamagnetic transition around, you know, et cetera. Recently they discussed, you know, there seems to be a new phase, you know, formed at this, you know, critical point. And if you introduce, you know, very small amount of impurities, like, you know, manganese, you know, just, you know, a few percent to several percent, actually, you can see, you know, insulating behavior shows up at low temperature, which in only a few percent of, you know, doping, actually, paramagnetic state switch into, and yes.
What's the formal valence of the manganese dioxide?
That's actually, I do not know. Actually, formally, it should be 3+, but yeah, I will actually come back to spectroscopic manganese later on. Yeah.
Can you say just a little bit, what do you mean exactly when you say meta magnetism?
Oh, I see. Here's actually a paramagnetic, you know, state. Okay, then magnetization is, you know, suddenly shoots up to sort of a finite value. And so this, you know, is a sort of a ferromagnetic state induced by magnetic field that we call metamagnetic state. So field induced ferromagnetism. Okay. So actually we did actually neutron analysis. And okay, we know actually this state is anti-ferromagnetic order state with possible, you know, orbital ordering. So this paramagnetic state is, you know, close to many variety of order states. Okay. So actually we would like to close all these, you know, criticalities. You know, first of all, can we see signature of criticality even in compound, like in metamagnetic criticality? And what is the nature of manganese impurities on this strongly correlated electron background near, you know, critical point? And what is real space physics behind this impurity-induced metal-to-insulator transition? And we would like to explore all these, you know, physics, you know, by local spectroscopy. And this is sort of stupid introduction of STM. Perhaps Seamus will give you a better introduction of the technique. But anyway, in this STM technique, you know, by moving, you know, chips with tunneling current, you know, constant, okay, you can make a topographic, you know, image. But let me remind you, this tunneling current is scaled by integrated local density of state up to bias voltage. So even on this level, by changing bias voltage, you can do spectroscopy. By changing by bias, you know, voltage, you can see a sort of spectroscopy of effective carrier density up to bias voltage. And of course, by putting chip at certain point, you can do local spectroscopy by taking DIDV as a function of bias voltage. This is called the scanning tunneling spectroscopy. And let me, show you STM image of our bilayer rootneck now. And this is the image, and you can see a beautiful scale lattice with spacing of 3.8 ohms strong. This is consistent with tetragonal lattice parameter of this compound. And we do believe actually that this image, you know, comes from apical oxygens within a strontium oxygen in the topmost, you know, layer. And actually, in contrast with the cube plate, okay, the image is so beautiful and homogeneous everywhere. So because of this, we can say this is a beautiful sort of playground to see dope impurities and the physics of impurities. Now here is bias voltage dependence of image of pure compound. And you know, everywhere, you know, at you know, high bias voltage, you can see scalar this. Okay, so homogeneous. So in terms of STM, it's sort of boring. And since this apical, you know, option image can be seen by hybridization of oxygen, you know, p states with BYG DGX, you know, component in the Fermi level, okay? Because the near the Fermi level, okay, is, you know, dominated by ruthenium T2 state, and oxygen P can be hybridized only with, you know, DYG and DGX states. So this homogeneous image, you know, tells you sort of a DYG and a DGX state, you know, distribute homogeneously over electron balls, okay? But this is, you know, broadband system, so no surprise. Okay, then after learning, you know, some tricks, you know, CMOS, you know, we could have sort of improved our resolution at low energy. And we try to see what's happening at lower energy. And then actually below 50 milli-electron volt, we start seeing something different. Okay, if you take a look at the image at 100, you know, milli-electron volt, you see just scale lattice. At low energy below 100 milli-electron volt, actually, this, you know, side and this side is inequivalent. And because of this, your unit cell is not, you know, A by A, but, you know, square root A times square root A. Right? So you can see a beautiful checkerboard pattern. And let me remind you, okay, there is a report of, you know, superstructure in 2-1-4 strontium ruthenite. But this case, this square root to square root lattice does not depend on bias voltage. And in that sense, this is just a surface, you know, reconstruction of atom. But this case, you know, we do see this square root to square root pattern only at low energy. And actually, if you do actually spectroscopy on this surface, we reproducibly observe pseudo gap like feature below 50 milli-electron volt. And only within this pseudo gap region, we do observe this square root 2 times square root 2 superstructure. Okay? And because of this, we believe this superstructure is essentially electronic in origin rather than topographic in origin. And we don't know actually what it is, but we suspect this is sort of electronic reconstruction representing criticality of this compound. And yes.
Here you're relatively far away from the phase transition that you alluded to earlier.
Yeah, but this is sort of surface. Yeah, surface, you know, things. This material, you know, just in adding, say, like a few percent impurities, we get to completely different state. So a surface, you know, can be different.
Could you apply magnetic field strongly?
That I will show you in 2 minutes.
So why you don't
want to be regarded in this one? Because in bulk, you know, all these sides, you know, should be equivalent on this surface. You see sort of inequivalent, you know, two sides. And we there seems to be some kind of ordering thing. Yes, that's the point. And since this compound has orbital degree of freedom, so it can be sort of orbital ordering of YGGX for sort of surface in a chi density state. We don't know what it is, but at least at surface there is a hidden electric order. And because of this surface ordering, it's difficult to detect critical to metamagnetism as, you know, Martin, you know, pointed out. But let me try to find this metamagnetic criticality, which has been studied by St. Andrew's group in detail. Okay. And if, you know, I take a look at the textbook, in the textbook, actually, this, you know, metamagnetic metal, you know, has been described in terms of stoner free energy. You know, this is, you know, expansion of free energy in terms of magnetization. And this A term represents, you know, famous stoner factor. And if, you know, this A term is negative, you get the ferromagnetism, right? And in case of, you know, positive A, you have, you know, paramagnet. But if B is, you know, negative, you can have, you know, something like, you know, this, you know, free energy curve. And if you stabilize, you know, this state, you know, as a function of a magnetic field, you can have metamagnetism. So in order to have, you know, metamagnetism, you should have, you know, negative B. That's what textbook says. And in terms of, you know, Hartree-Fock, this, you know, B term is scaled by this, you know, quantity. This is sort of a derivative of density of states at, you know, Fermi energy. And in order to have, you know, negative B, actually, you must have, you know, something like, you know, this singular density of state near the Fermi, like having a big peak near the Fermi, in order to have, you know, negative B. Okay, that's, you know, what textbook says. Okay, and further, do we see something like this, okay, associated with metamagnetism? And we carefully checked, actually, what we do see in our spectroscopy. And okay, here is a pseudo gap we observed related with surface ordering. And within this, you know, pseudo gap, actually, we reproduce, we observe this sharp, you know, double peaks, you know, every time. And actually, this, the presence of this, you know, sharp peak, okay, is, you know, consistent with light picture, you know, what, you know, textbook, you know, says, you know. And okay, and actually, this double peak structure, you know, apparently satisfies with this, you know, condition B should be negative. Okay, now the question is this, you know, sharp, you know, two peaks located at, you know, plus minus, you know, 4 mA volt is really responsive for metamagnetism. Yeah, I tried to, you know, look for, you know, literature, but nobody has seen this kind of density of singularity associated with metamagnetism, okay? So we then, you know, applied the magnetic field to this spectrum. Okay, this is, you know, zero field data, okay, just expansion at, you know, 500 millikelvin, two peaks. And I applied the magnetic field, okay? And the metamagnetism should occur at 8 tesla. And I just, you know, inked the field up to 7 tesla, okay, up to metamagnet transition. And you don't see a big change, but if you take a look at the details, you can see, okay, this, you know, peak, you know, split into two, and somehow in the spectral weight, you know, shift to lower energy. But you know, as you clearly notice, you know, from this figure, okay, this is not, you know, simple, you know, G-man.
There seems to be a structure already at zero field. It's just that the relative, maybe 2 feet, the relative weight.
Yeah.
Of
yeah. So it's not, you know, simple G-man split, right? That's what, and but, you know, many body effects, you know, plays, you know, very important role here. Yeah. But anyway, we do see some, you know, field effect and the spectral weight, you know, shift to lower energy. That's what's happening up to 7 tesla. Okay. No, actually, Zeeman spring at 10 tesla should be 1 mA volt, like this in the scale. So,
no.
So actually, it depends how we should take a look at this. You know, whether this is a continuous shift or just, you know, a spectral wave transfer between two beams. That's actually we are not even clear at this stage. Okay, and let me go beyond this metamagnetic.
Can I ask you?
Yes. Yes.
This is the potential conductance is clearly too reconstructed.
Yes.
And
yes.
That gives you the density gate for the potential conductance, which is consistent with the requirements of the density gate states, which are the stoner.
No. Okay. Yeah. So this pseudo gap related scale root 2 has been by far bigger energy scale than this.
But
And I'm not talking about this plus minus, you know, 4 mV near the filament. So this is low energy physics.
And so you're saying that this is universal to both surface reconstructed and not reconstructed? I'm trying to see whether this gives me a picture of the density of states for the surface reconstructed thing, or whether it's sort of related to the bulk density of states, which is what the requirement for the stoner metamagnetism.
That's a very good question. And actually, this huge pseudo gap structure that doesn't show any field dependence. And our understanding at the moment is the surface experience sort of a reconstruction, but there is, you know, bulk signal, so superposed on top of this, you know, pseudo gap structure. And this is it. Actually, this peak height is too small to account for magnetization of 0.5 μb. And let me, you know, go through this metamagnet transition now. Then actually above 8 tesla, suddenly this gap region between two peaks is, you know, filled up. Okay, suddenly actually this, you know, spectrum fields, you know, metamagnet transition, and that's why we do believe that this two peak represents, you know, metamagnet criticality in bulk. Okay, so you suddenly see a big change at 8 tesla. And actually, this, you know, I already, you know, mentioned. Actually, we checked, you know, what's happening to this pseudo gap structure related with the scale root to reconstruction, and this, you know, didn't show any field dependence. Right. So, that big somewhere here, like this, and that, but that part doesn't show any field dependence. That's why, you know, I do believe that's sort of independent.
You mean more surface effect?
I think this is first time to see sort of a metamagnetic criticality in terms of spectroscopy. And this is sort of specific data of the same Rupnik, you know, sample, and she over T versus in temperature. And actually, if you take a look at, you know, zero field data like this, actually you can see some structure here. Okay, C over T tend to decrease at low temperature. And actually, this temperature dependence, you know, can be, you know, fitted, you know, quite well by assuming a two double peak located at, you know, plus minus 3.5 millielectron volt. Okay, so that's consistent with, you know, our observation. And with applying magnetic field, actually, this, you know, broad feature tend to soften. Okay, this temperature where the specific heat start decreasing goes down, and you know, specific heat becomes almost, you know, linear in temperature. That's, you know, again consistent with filling up of the gap state. And this, you know, feature at low temperature around, you know, 8 tesla, okay, this is sort of a critical point for metamagnetism. You know, we cannot explain in terms of a simple, you know, filling up of you know, two sharp, you know, density of states, you know, peaks. And this, you know, extra, you know, specific contribution need to be explained, you know, somehow by introducing some additional ingredient like spin degree of freedom and so on. You know, you cannot explain, you know, all the specific data in terms of density of states argument. But at least, you know, in the paramagnet state, we can have consistent description of specific behavior based on our spectroscopy. Yes?
In general, the position of the metamagnetic position depends on the angle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So does the density of state feature track the metamagnetic field as you change the angle?
Unfortunately, yeah, that's a very good question. No, we cannot change the field direction. Yeah, of course. Yeah, if we could, you know, it would be great. But yeah, we could. Yeah, it had to rotate the STM chip. You know, within a field. First, we have to rotate the field, but we need a big magnet, right? Yes.
Can we go back to the previous?
Yes.
So the thing that the transport people identify as the phase transition. very rapid increase of scattering.
Yeah.
Right? So purely you can see this transition from the magnetization.
Yeah.
But McKenzie's work mostly has to do with resistivity.
Yeah.
So do you think what you've observed here is consistent with the changes in resistivity?
That part is difficult. That's because we do see only quasi-particle density of states. But the specific probes, you know, some additional ingredient, you know, other than just, you know, quasi-particle density of states.
Here it is up to and must come from the electrical fluctuations, right? The magnetic fluctuations, which is the same thing which drives the resistivity up.
Yeah, there is this, I don't know if in transport, McKenzie seen this one called Fisher something, right? The direction of the resistivity you do in cancer.
Yeah, so actually if you know, I can ascribe this low-lying spin excitation, okay, that may give like extra scattering channel. But I'm not 100% sure, you know, we can observe this spin excitation independently in a specific heat. And all this, you know, came from the same electron, right?
At the critical field, do you have the temperature dependence of the uniform susceptibility of that system? Just for checking what the critical fluctuations would have as a temperature dependence?
Oh, I
see. Not the specific heat, just the uniform susceptibility, which would probably be the most direct measure of at the critical field as a function of temperature.
Yeah. That's sort of a clear question, but normally I just, you know, measure as in magnetization as a function of a field. And let me check, actually. You're talking about magnetization.
Uniform MT,
right?
Yeah.
At some terms of temperature. Yeah, above critical, or at critical field, right?
At the critical field. This would just be a direct measure.
Yeah. Yeah, there must be, but yeah, of course, in the zero field, the susceptibility shows the sort of peak, you know, which is considered metamagnetism. And you're talking about the DMDH, right? There must be some data, but I cannot, actually. Yeah.
Can you comment on the calculation? What
calculation look like? I simply assumed, actually, two peaks actually, here and there. Actually, it is the same, you know. To have two peak or one peak, because it's symmetric. But you know, assuming two sharp peak located, you know, around, you know, 4 millielectron volt, okay, we can have this kind of temperature dependence, okay. And by shifting this peak, actually, you know, you can see a shift of this, you know, feature in the specific field. Okay, goes down to t equals zero limit. Yeah. So, but by assuming sort of a two sharp density of state peak, we can deploy this specific heat in the paramagnetic state. Okay, and it is, you know, filled up, and this can be seen as a decrease of characteristic temperature, but at critical, you know, field, actually, we do see the peculiar contribution, okay, diverging to a t equals zero limit. And this, you know, we cannot reproduce based on t. Yeah, we need to. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the point. Okay. So now, you know, let me talk about, you know, local physics. Now, let me introduce impurities to this, you know, background. Okay. And as I mentioned at the beginning of my talk, by introducing a small amount of manganese impurity, system switching to anti-ferromagnetic insulator. And we would like to explore what is the state of, you know, manganese on this strongly correlated electron background. And in order to identify, you know, manganese impurity, let me start from dilute limit, okay, 0.5%. Okay, the system remains, you know, in a paramagnetic state. But you can see increase of residual resistivity here. And here is the estimated picture. And in contrast to the case for, you know, pure system, where you can see, you know, bright spots, you know, here and there. And if you count your number of bright spots, the number of bright spots by area. It's essentially scaled by number of magnetabilities. And because of this, we identify this bright spot, okay, as, you know, manganese impurity. So actually, I can point, okay, this is, you know, manganese impurity, okay? And now, you know, we can identify manganese impurity. Let's do spectroscopy of this, you know, manganese impurity. Okay, here is, you know, bias voltage dependence of this manganese impurity. And with decreasing, you know, bias voltage from 700 milliectron volt to lower energy, actually this manganese, you know, side, you know, immediately, you know, merging into background, and now you cannot even identify where is manganese atom, right? But if you, yeah. And actually, this you know, change as a function of bias voltage comes from resonance-like, you know, features in the spectroscopy. And this is sort of DIDV spectroscopy map for different site. And this, you know, red curve, you know, comes from on manganese site, and the other, you know, came from you know, these, you know, surrounding areas. And you can see on manganese site there is you know, resonant-like feature around, you know, 700 milliectron volt. And this bright spot at 700 milliectron volt comes from this resonant-like feature. So there is a highly localized resonant-like feature at, you know, 700 milliectron volt. And with, you know, lowering energy, you know, near the Fermi level, manganese state, you know, completely merges into their surroundings. But if you take a look at, you know, carefully, okay, you can see these, you know, area a bit, you know, darker than the others. That means the state slightly pushed out, you know, another manganese impurity. But it's hard to identify which one is manganese atom. Okay. And in addition to that, okay, in case of pure 327, okay, this image of scale lattice did not depend on bias voltage strongly. But by introducing only small amount of manganese impurity, you can see background image is not, you know, simple scale lattice, but you can see a very strange, you know, features, you know, here and there, right? So the background image starts showing strong bias voltage dependence. Okay, that's, you know, what happened.
By introducing
Not scale root 2, but it's not in a scale root like this, but there is some peculiar, you know, feature here and there.
So if you look at a low bias voltage,
yes,
do you see a sort
of
2x or not?
Well,
these voltages are
all
too high to see
a sort of 2x, right? Yeah, I do expect that there is some, actually, because there is gap-like, you know, feature here. Okay, that's sort of the same feature as the pure compound, so we do expect. So let me give you a sort of a speculative picture for, you know, manganese impurity state. And as you see in the previous view graph, at low energy around the Fermi level, this, you know, manganese state sort of completely merged into surrounding ruthenium state. And in that sense, you know, at low energy, you know, manganese T2G state should be strongly hybridized with the surrounding ruthenium T2G state. And since, you know, manganese, you know, 4 plus has, you know, one electron less than ruthenium 4 plus, once you hybridize with this, you may be able to have a sort of a whole cloud forming around manganese impurities by strong, you know, hybridization. And we see sort of states are pushed out in another manganese impurity. And this, you know, whole cloud may represent, okay, such sort of matters in the real space. Yeah. And if this is the case, okay, the highly localized 700 milliectron volt resonance might be ascribed to EG state. And since, you know, EG orbit states, you know, cannot be hybridized with T to the state, you know, by symmetry. So if there is a state gate with EV, that should be highly localized. And we tentatively assign this 700 future to manganese easy state. And of course, you know, what I'm saying, you know, might be a bit, you know, crazy for you, because what I'm saying is this manganese 3 plus high spin state has, you know, higher energy than low energy, low spin state. And that's sort of quite unusual for, you know, manganese, you know, physics. But I believe this low spin, you know, manganese, you know, 3 plus state, you know, can be stabilized by sort of hybridizing with the surrounding ruthenium by symmetry. And also, there may be some, you know, local, you know, active distortion, which, you know, stabilize, you know, low spin, you know, manganese state. That's, you know, my speculative picture. And from the picture, we notice states are pushed out to over 1 to 2 nanometers, okay? That's always the case. And this is, you know, much larger than conventional Thomas Fermi screening length. So that should be over the order of 1 ohm strong. But since, you know, this is sort of a strongly two-dimensional system, this number may not be surprising. But there is some evidence, you know, this, you know, length scale can be much larger, because we did see a strong, you know, bias voltage dependence of image observed all over the area, and which has not been observed for pure compound. And we believe this strong bias voltage dependence represents sort of modification electric state, and that this modification electric state is spread over, you know, huge, you know, length scale, which, you know, we cannot even identify. And this, you know, I believe is a precursor to metal to insulator transition. And that this, you know, huge length scale, you know, might be related to sort of criticality. And let me show you, you know, sort of a movie, you know, to summarize, you know, what I said. And I start from minus 500 milliecton volt, okay, fuse state. And I'm going to increase, you know, energy, okay, towards, you know, Fermi energy first. And you can see, okay, strong, you know, bias voltage dependence of image, okay, which we didn't see for pure case. Okay, so there is some indication of electric state change. And at high bias voltage, okay, this manganese impurity brings. Okay, that represents sort of resonant, highly localized resonant, like, you know, features in the spectroscopy. Which, you know, we cannot go because of technical reasons. No, scale root is below 50 milliecton volt. Yeah, at this energy, no.
Can you go back to the low bias?
Yeah. Low bias? I mean, yeah, maybe, yeah. Let me. Yeah, 200. Yeah, I cannot stop, fortunately. Actually, at 30 milliectron, but it's not in clear. But it's not in clear. But from spectroscopy, there is a gap-like feature. That's why, you know, I'm pretty much sure there should be, you know.
That
we don't know, yeah. Yeah. So now let me increase, you know, manganese, you know, content further. And now, you know, we have sort of long range in order. Now, okay, this is sort of you know, low energy picture. Actually, this is 220 milliecton volt. Actually, this surface reconstruction is not, you know, very clear. But you can see the image is not, you know, simple, you know, scalar lattice. Okay, the picture is, you know, very complicated. And if you change in bias voltage, you can see a crazy bias, you know, voltage dependence, you know, like this. But at high bias voltage, finally, this, you know, manganese atom brings. Right? So the spectroscopy of, you know, impurity is essentially the same. Right? But you start seeing a stronger bias, you know, voltage dependence. And also... Yeah. Of course, if you switch into a real insulating state, actually, it should. Yeah, but this is not, you know, real insulator, actually. The you know, if you take a look at the, you know, magnitude of resistivity, it's not, you know, serious, you know, insulator. Or actually, this is a kind of sort of Mott Anderson insulator. And, disorder plays, you know, very important role. And at least, you know, electron can travel, you know, over nanometers. Yeah, but as you can see from this, actually, this, you know, resonance, you know, energy might shift a bit. Actually, at 700 millielectron volt, we didn't see, yeah, this, you know, blinking doesn't occur. That sort of change, you know, we observed. It's not, you know, significant. Oh, 5 minutes, okay. And yeah, at the moment, you know, we believe this, you know, big, you know, bias, you know, voltage dependence is, you know, associated with, you know, modification of electric states. And since this, you know, scale lattice, you know, come from apical oxygen, and the apical oxygen can couple with, you know, dyg and gdx orbital because of symmetry. And if, you know, this, you know, narrow, you know, highly one-dimensional ygdx orbital is sort of gapped, and the states are pushed out from the Fermi level, you know, STM chip has to look for something else. And we do believe this strong, you know, bias voltage dependence represents sort of DYG, DGX states are pushed out, you know, from the Fermi level. That's what we do expect for this bias voltage dependence. Okay, so let me summarize what we observed for 3 to 7. And I think this, you know, bilayer alternate is, you know, very good, you know, playground for local physics. And we identified sort of metamagnetic, you know, criticality in terms of density of singularity. And also we observed a possible electric reconstruction of the surface. And we, you know, atomically resolved, you know, manganese impurities. And we did some spectroscopy of manganese, you know, state. And for future, we would like to do sort of a chemistry of sort of physics of impurities. That's sort of a future direction we'd like to pursue. And I do have three more minutes, right? So maybe I just quickly overview what I want to say for this lithium vanadate. And okay, this lithium vanadate is mixed valent oxide with 1-to-1 ratio of vanadium 3+ and 4+, and this is essentially a Bowie system. And you know, this, you know, system is known as the first, you know, heavy fermion transition metal oxide. And as you see in this figure, this is metallic, and it shows the T-scale behavior at low temperature. And if you take a look at specific heat, you can see a huge electric specific coefficient at large at 400 millijoules per mole scale, which is comparable to those of UPT3. And in the susceptibility, okay, you can see a broad peak around 20 Kelvin, which is quite important for the discussion later. And you know, susceptibility approaches, you know, finite value. And if you combine T equals 0 with susceptibility and the gamma value, you get, you know, quite reasonable Wilson ratio 1.7. And also, if you plot, you know, this T-scale quotient A and gamma as, you know, famous Kadowaki-Uji plot, actually, this lithium vanadate occupies the same region as UPT3 and clusters, you know, around the famous, you know, Kadowaki-Uji relationship, which has been known, you know, valid for a variety of strongly correlated Fermi. So it is clear that this is heavy mass Fermi liquid. Although, you know, low temperature properties are strikingly similar to those of intermetallic, you know, heavy fermion compound, the origin of heavy quasi particle mass is not, you know, clear at all. And there is, you know, ongoing discussion. What is the origin of heavy quasi particle mass? Because this system has only T2G electrons involved. And Anishimov and the co-workers, you know, claim actually this system can be mapped onto Kondo system, essentially. And they claim actually because of local trigonal symmetry, triply degenerate T2G orbital split into you know, highly localized A1G and doubly degenerate EG orbital. And among, you know, 1.5 electron per vanadium, one goes to localized A1G orbital, giving light to local moment channel, and the rest, you know, 0.5 go into itinerant EG band, and giving like giving you a sort of conduction channel. Okay, and that sort of the application. But the other, you know, group of, you know, theorists, you know, like, you know, Antoine George, Piers Coleman, claimed geometric frustration, you know, inherent to this spinel structure should play a very important role. And this frustration, you know, represents a sort of new route to form in heavy fermion system. And there is ongoing discussion. Yeah? No, not yet. Crystal is not, you know, cleaner. Okay. And at least experimentally, we know actually this system, it's you know, in the vicinity of, you know, charge ordered, you know, state, and by applying pressure, actually this heavy fermion state switch into charge ordered state. So this is a sort of fermi liquid, you know, critically close to charge order insulator, but no magnetic ordering because of geometrical fluctuation. That sort of our picture. And then recently, we sort of succeeded in growing, you know, relatively big, you know, single crystal, and we started having a better understanding of low energy electric state. And we did, you know, again, you know, magnetization measurement, like, you know, repellent, and we found again, you know, metamagnetic transition at low temperature, and this, you know, magnetic, you know, moment is something like 0.4 mu b, which is, you know, much smaller than 3 mu b for all T2G spins, or 2 mu b for A1G spins, pi unit formula. So, yeah, we do have, you know, only small moment. And besides, you know, above, you know, this, you know, transition, you know, field, magnetization keeps, you know, increasing, and no plateau state observed. All these, you know, features are typical of itinerant metamagnetic, just like 327 ruthenite. And we found the magnetization is quite, you know, isotropic, so the system is, you know, Heisenberg in nature. And in the resistivity, actually, that's related with the previous, you know, question. Okay, this is a sort of resistivity curve as a functional field. And you can see a huge, you know, enhancement of resistivity at, you know, metamagnetic transition point. Okay, and that is ascribed to critical scattering due to low-lying, you know, ferromagnetic excitation. And as you can see from this figure, yeah, you can see all this metamagnetic behavior only at low temperature, in particular below 10K, where, you know, you can see, so T squared resistivity, right? So this presence of metamagnetic transition is closely linked with the formation of heavy quasi particle. And phenomenically, what we observed is quite similar to those, you know, observed for heavy fermion intermetallics. And in case of, okay, we do see a susceptibility peak, metamagnetic transition, and a peak of magnetic resistance at metamagnetic transition. And this, you know, feature has been interpreted in terms of the presence of a Kondo peak in density of state. You have sort of a density of state, you know, singularity associated with you know, Kondo peak. And actually, if you take a look at sort of phenomenology of metamagnetism in this, you know, compound, yeah, this is the relationship between susceptibility peak, which represents the energy scale of density of states, you know, peaks in a critical, you know, field. Actually, Lishman and Banaret falls into a similar, you know, category. So this indicates, Lishman and Banaret should have similar density of states, you know, singularity, as well as, you know, the other, you know, metallic compound. And indeed, actually, recently, my colleague 16 did a photo emission experiment on this compound, and this is sort of a low data, okay? And if you take a look at the low temperature, you can see sort of enhancement of density of states, you know, around, you know, Fermi level, and also you can see big tail, you know, in the unoccupied state. And if you divide this data by, you know, Fermi function, you more or less, you know, get, you know, quasi-particle density of states. This is the same analysis as, you know, people did for Kondo system. And you can see actually big, you know, quasi-particle growing, okay, with, you know, decreasing temperature. And the peak is located, you know, approximately 4 milli electron volt above the Fermi level. Okay. And this, you know, 4 milli electron volt is, you know, roughly consistent with the presence of susceptibility peak at 25K, which is about 2 millielectron volt, and the metamagnet transition occurs at 40 tesla. 40 tesla corresponds to roughly 4 millielectron volt. So all these, you know, results are consistent, right? So now, you know, I'm sort of convinced there is a sharp density of state peak above 4 millielectron volt, which evolves, you know, quite rapidly. With, you know, decreasing temperature. And this is sort of reminiscent of Kondo resonance peak in cerium compound. And when we first saw this, you know, data, we thought, okay, this may indicate sort of Kondo scenario for this, you know, compound. But then, you know, we start talking with, you know, many, you know, theory colleagues, and then we noticed in case of cerium, you know, heavy fermion intermetallic, this sharp peak, Kondo peak, is located slightly above Fermi level because of the degeneracy of F orbital. Okay, because of degeneracy of F orbital peak is located. You have, you know, one electron over, you know, 14, you know, F orbital, right? But in case of Lishman Banaret, you know, we have almost half field T2 orbital. And there is no reason we should have, you know, peak, you know, above Fermi level in terms of Kondo physics. And now, you know, I'm pretty sure the scenario which can explain the presence of peak only 4 millielectron volt above the Fermi level, you know, naturally, is a sort of a correct scenario for the formation of heavy quasi particle in this you know, compound. And I do expect, for example, if there is a quasi-particle density of state enhancement due to close proximity to charge order state, and if you introduce some additional ingredient and form a big, you know, quasi-particle peak right above the Fermi level, that should be the correct scenario. And in order to, you know, go, you know, further, now, you know, we try to do sort of low energy spectroscopy to identify character of this huge, you know, Kondo peak. Okay. That's, you know, what we are doing, you know, currently. Thank you for attention.
I have a question concerning this Uthenate story, where you try to connect the metamagnetic criticality with this feature in the density of state.
Yes.
In principle, you should be able to make a quantitative comparison based on that lambda expansion which you showed. Did you actually do that? I may have missed it. Did you manage to quantitatively compare the structure and the density of states with the critical field and the properties of this metamagnetic transition? Because in principle, you should be able to extract the coefficients of the expansion from that, shouldn't you?
Yes. So in principle, you know, we can have metamagnet transition, but at a bit, you know, higher field. Yeah, we observed the metamask at 8 tesla, but we did sort of a category based on this, and it was something like 15, 20 tesla.
Okay, so you get an order of magnitude agreement.
Yeah.
Maybe I can add a brief comment. I just want to point out that there's an alternative explanation for these metamagnetic features, purely based on correlation physics and low energy physics, not on features in the density of states. And it would be nice to have an experiment to discriminate, but I suppose from if you get an order of magnitude comparison, it's pretty hard to say which scenario is the valid one.
Mm-hmm. I catch your point. According to this, naive, band type, argument, you assume naive Zeeman split of the band, right? But here actually we don't see such a naive, Zeeman split. So in that sense, this lambda argument is not good enough to account for everything. That's clear.
Can I try to shorten the question?
Yeah.
There are two issues on the table. One is what causes the metamagnetic phase transition, and two is what is the Higgins phase in the McKenzie study.
Yeah.
Now, you presented to us very impressive work here, which is supportive of the Stoner picture for the metamagnetic phase transition.
Partly yes, partly no.
Partly yes, partly no. Were you also commenting on the identity of the Higgins phase from this material, or is that a separate?
That's separate. Yeah, of course. Yeah, if we could. Actually, we want to see a sort of a real space picture of this ordering, but not yet. Yeah, hope we can find some hidden order associated with density of state change, but not yet.
So you have a magnetic element here is conditioned induced by magnetic.
Yeah.
Three
to 5%.
So then, that would mean that these spin versus spinless magnetic state that presumably drives this transition should get softer as you approach it, as you approach the critical concentration. So we have this T2G getting the spin or not getting the spin. Down 100 millivolts, the state is short where basically if you put manganese, you have T2G with four spins and EG empty, and then you put 700 millivolts inside. As I go towards the critical point, will this excitation energy get softer?
Actually, it's the same. No.
I know you showed it secondly from 700 goes to 800.
Yeah.
But is it naive expectation, please, that it should get softer as you approach it for the critical point?
That's not clear. Yeah.
This
one, right? But this is sort of local event, right?
No, but you're saying that I'm keeping, in a pristine compound, I'm keeping putting manganese, and I'm going through one critical phase
transition.
Metal
insulated transition, right?
Which is second.
Can you do the phase diagram of the S on the platform? You can go from the thin end to the main thing.
Yeah, this is pure one, right? And there is just something like this, and then the image is like a 40K. And this transition is very weakly fast order. Yeah, very weakly fast order. Yeah, we can see very tiny hysteresis. But this is weakly fast order. We do see already some.
I was puzzled by the fact that this equation is not getting softer as you approach it.
But that's sort of specific to manganese atom, right? And, yeah. But a driver transition does not necessarily mean a softening of the transition. It sort of stimulates the system, right? Yes?
Coming back to the lithium story.
Yes.
If there is any hope to the geometrical frustration point of fixture being of relevance, then the photo emission should give signs of fractionalization. Now, is this just a local photo emission, or do you also have angle resolved photo emission data available?
That's sort of integrated.
It's just integrated.
Yeah.
Is there any attempt to explain the data in terms of fractionalization?
Actually, some of us, are you a friend of Nick Shannon? Yeah, actually, he tried to convince me there must be a sort of fractionalization.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Succeed, or?
Yeah, but from an integrated, and that, yeah. But so we have to, you know, measure sort of noise or something like that.
Can I have a second?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
okay, maybe
can you educate me on the structure of the charge ordered state and the lattice?
That's not known yet, actually. We know actually it is, you know, insulating. And the average structure is rhomboedral. And we suspect that because of rhomboedral structure, the order state is what we call 3-1 structure. Okay. Three bottom vanadium, and one top vanadium becomes in equivalent. That kind of ordering structure we do expect, but not convincing yet.
Yeah, the second part we got to mention something about conformal diaxis, because he was talking about the channel and not that. So why do we need a second component to explain the density of 6 volts and 4 millivolts?
Because what we did was we sort of assumed this tunneling density of state, which is sort of filled up, right, above the critical field. And because by assuming this density of state, we more or less calculate specific heat. And specific heat, we can have this kind of feature associated with the density of state singularity. And by filling up this, we sort of reproduce this feature. But at this stage, we have relatively conventional behavior specific heat. But in experiment, actually, at critical point, we do see huge enhancement of C over T towards T equals zero limit. And this component cannot be reproduced.
Magnetic fluctuations.
Yeah.
Thank you.